Can I invite you this evening to turn with me in God's Word to the Gospel of Luke? And we're turning to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. And we're moving down this chapter to take up our reading at the verse 16. And we're going to be reading here of one of the Lord's great miracles. And it was the healing of the man sick of the palsy. That's recorded also in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 9, and it's recorded in Mark's Gospel in chapter 2. But we are reading here Luke's account, and we're coming to Luke chapter 5 and to the verse 16. And the reference here is to the Saviour himself. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in, and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. Amen. We'll end the reading there at verse 26. May the Lord be pleased to add his own blessing to this reading from his own precious and infallible word. I would like us to consider this miracle very simply in the gospel together this evening. And I would entitle the message, A Life-Changing Day, because that's what it became for this particular man, a life-changing day. Let us unite together in prayer. We'll seek the help of the Lord for the ministry of his word. Our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, we do thank thee that thou hast said in thy word, If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And we would come, O God, in our need this evening, and we would confess, O God, that we need thy help. We need the infilling of thy Spirit. We need that wisdom that comes alone from thee. And we pray, O God, that thou wouldst minister to each one of us tonight. Give me that needed help in the proclamation of thy word. And grant, O God, that for each one that would hear, that they would have that receptive heart this evening. Do work, O God, by the power of thy Spirit, and even be pleased to build up the Church of Jesus Christ, that there might be those who would come tonight with repentance toward God, with faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and grant that for them it would be a life-changing day, the day of their salvation. Do hear and answer our prayer. We offer it in the Saviour's great name. Amen. Well, it is the Gospel of Luke more than any other gospel that details for us something of the life, the prayer life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you would find reference after reference in the Gospel of Luke to the prayer life of the Saviour. Gives us that little insight into that fellowship and communion that the Saviour had even here upon the earth with His Father in heaven. And you would find as you would look at those various references to prayer that every time the Lord was said to have that special season of prayer, there was also something notable that was to follow. Some great happening would take place after the Saviour had prayed. For example, if you were to look into the next chapter, to Luke chapter 6 and the verse 12, and here you find one of those references where the Saviour is in prayer. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. And so the Lord spent that whole night in prayer before he would choose his disciples. And so it shows us the importance of prayer. It shows us the example that the Saviour is to each one of us in prayer. And when you come back to our scripture reading, we took up our reading at verse 16 of chapter 5. And again, you will see here, there's a reference to prayer. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. And here's an occasion where the Lord was having that time of private devotion and prayer. And so it is no exception here that there's going to be something notable that will take place after the Saviour prays. And we've been reading about it in our Bible reading. That great miracle, the power of God that was revealed in the healing of the man who was sick of the palsy. And so after this season of prayer, the Lord then enters into Capernaum. And he goes into a house there and he begins to teach and to preach. And it's noised abroad that he's in the house. And a great multitude of people, a great throng, begin to press upon that house. They're there to hear the Lord Jesus Christ. And while he is there teaching and preaching, they bring the man who's sick of the palsy. And of course, you know the story. I'm sure you've heard it from childhood days in Sabbath schools, in children's meetings, perhaps even in your own home, how they came and took this man up onto the roof and they would let him down through the roof right into the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. There he is in that home before the Saviour. And he's going to be gloriously and miraculously healed, not only physically, but spiritually as well. Therefore, this day was to become a life-changing day for this man. And the lesson that we see right away is that it comes in answer to prayer. There's power in prayer. And after prayer is offered, we can go forth with that spirit of expectation. Anticipate that something notable can happen in answer to prayer. It is no vain thing to wait upon the Lord. Prayer is not empty. Prayer is not a waste of time. I tell you this evening, there's power in prayer. We see an example of it here. God works in a powerful way in answer to prayer. Paul said to the Hebrews, "He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." And when we come with sincerity and earnestness of heart, and we diligently seek the Lord in prayer, we can anticipate the blessing of the Lord. We can anticipate the Lord answering prayer and rewarding and answering to His glory. In the passage that we have read together in verse 17, It makes reference to a certain day. And you see how that follows on from the Lord having that season of prayer, that season of private devotion where he withdrew himself into the wilderness and he prayed, and it came to pass on a certain day. Followed the season of prayer. There's this particular day that is now set apart. It's going to be a special day. It's going to be a day when the Lord would move. Our focus is brought upon this certain day. And when you go to the very end of our Bible reading, we finished at verse 26. You see how this whole account finishes. At the end of verse 26, we have seen strange things today. Again, another reference to this particular day. A day that was singled out. A day that was marked in the calendar of God as a day when he was going to move in blessing. And our attention here in the passage is brought to think about this particular day. A day when prayer was answered. A day when a life was changed. A day that would never be forgotten. There was such a day in the life of Zacchaeus. Do you remember that? When Zacchaeus came down from the tree, and it tells us there that he received Christ joyfully. And the Lord went home with Zacchaeus, and the Lord was able to say, "This day is salvation come to this house." A particular day. Day that was marked out. There would be a life-changing day. Can I ask you this evening as you're listening, do you have such a day in your life's experience? Can you look back to a day in your life that you can say, well, that was a life-changing day. That's a day that is never to be forgotten. That's the day when I came to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have that day in your life? A life-changing day. And the Lord moved in power and in blessing upon your heart. We're looking at one such day in Luke chapter 5. A day in the life of this man. A man whose life would be changed and transformed, that he would never be the same again. He would never forget this day. And as God's people, we look for days like that. We ought to pray for days like that. Days whenever the Lord would break through in power. The Lord would bless. The Lord would make bare his mighty arm and delivering power. The Lord would break through in lives. The Lord promises to hear and to answer prayer that we would see such days of blessing. We would see hearts regenerated, lives transformed by the power of God and the gospel. Very simply this evening, for a few moments together, I want you to consider this man and this life-changing day. Notice with me firstly the frailty of this man. In verse 18 it says, "And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him." And so we're reading here about this man who was taken with a palsy. I mentioned already that Matthew and Mark both cover this same account. And whenever the translators came to our English Bible, in Matthew and Mark they translated a man sick of the palsy. But here, when it comes to Luke's gospel, and remember, Luke is the beloved physician. Luke is the doctor, the medical doctor. And it's translated differently here. It says a man who's taken with a palsy. And the word here, taken, it actually means gripped with a palsy. We would take from the language of the New Testament, the Greek, and we would bring the word over into the English, and it's the word paralyzed. And so we're looking here at a man who has been completely taken by this illness to the point that it has gripped him, it has taken control of him, it is absolutely dominating him. He's paralyzed by it. He's helpless and powerless to fight against it. He's under its control. He's completely overwhelmed by this disease in his body. With the coronavirus that is still very much abroad in society today, we have heard the stories of certain individuals who have contracted the virus. You've maybe read those stories, or you've even seen footage of individuals who have been taken with COVID-19. And it is such a virus and such a disease that it takes control of the body and it dominates the body. And we know how many tens of thousands of lives have been lost due to the coronavirus. How frail man really is. The bodily weakness of man when he can be taken by such a thing. Here's the man in our passage, and we can certainly see his frailty in the physical sense because he's taken with a palsy. And he's there having to lie upon the bed. He's unable to rise up of himself. He's unable to walk. How frail and weak we really are. But of course, there's a picture here spiritually of man. Man's spiritual condition. Man has been taken by sin. And man is held in the grip of the devil. And man is dominated by sin. Sin can take control of a man's heart and of a man's life. And sin here can take over in such a way that the individual finds themselves absolutely powerless and helpless. That's how Paul describes the unconverted and the ungodly when he was writing to the Romans. In Romans chapter 5 and the verse 6, he said, "For when we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly." And without strength describes our spiritual condition outside of the Savior. We are no match for Satan and for sin. The devil has us firmly in his grip. We're not able to break free from that. Such is the frailty of man spiritually. And so we can see it in this particular individual. But I want you to notice with me, secondly this evening, the friends of this man, because it tells us there in that 18th verse, "And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with the palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him." This man who was taken with a palsy, who was sick of the palsy, he had friends who actually had a desire to see this man healed, and they therefore had a desire to bring him to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you look there at verse 18, it says they sought means. Thank God for those who have a desire to bring others to the Savior. These friends are a wonderful example of that. Thank God the Lord uses individuals. Uses individuals by way of witness and reaching out to others. Whether it's that personal word of witness, whether it's the gospel tract, whether it's the invitation to the gospel meeting. And we should be using, even at this particular stage of lockdown, every means that are lawful and legitimate to reach out with the message of the gospel. Do we have a desire to see others being brought to the Saviour? The Apostle Paul said to the Romans brethren, my heart's desire, my prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Do we have anything of the desire whereby we would seek the means? We're not able to meet together in our church buildings. Our churches are closed by and large. But we're seeking means. We're using the means at our disposal. Thank God for the technology that we have and for things like sermon audio and the different various platforms of social media whereby the word can still be ministered. For those who take time to look after those broadcasts, for those who would record the DVDs and the CDs and would go out to distribute them, sought means to bring others to the Saviour. The desire of these friends, but the difficulties that these friends faced. I can imagine the conversation between these men when they look at their friend who's taken with the palsy and if left to himself, he's going to perish, he's going to die. And one is saying, let's get him to the Saviour. And another might say, well, sure, it's impossible, he can't walk. There's the first problem. He's not able to walk. There's a difficulty raising itself up before them. And one will say, there's no point. And another will say, we'll carry him. Let's just lift him, bed and all. Let's take him to this house where the Saviour is. Let's seek all means to bring him to the Saviour. And they get to the house. There's a great crowd. The throng is pressing around that house. I can hear another disappointed soul, maybe one of those men, saying, there's no point in going any further. We'll never get him in there. We'll never get him to the Saviour. Another says, there's the stairs. Let's go up onto the roof. And so they're lifting him in his bed and they're carrying up those stairs onto the roof of that house. And they get up there and again there's a difficulty because they have to break up the roof. If they're going to lower them down into that house, it's requiring effort. They've carried him to the house. They have to carry him up the stairs. They have to set him down while they're going to break up that roof, and it wasn't easy. In spite of the difficulties, these men are determined. We see their determination. And they come to the point as they're trying to break up that roof, they come to the point where they actually break through. And they break through to the Lord, to where the Lord is, and they're able to lower this man down. And he's right there in that home before the Saviour. He's in the presence of the Lord. And the desire of these men is realized. Even though they face difficulties, they had that determination. They're wanting to make progress. They're wanting to get forward. And they're seeking the means to do that. And they got their friend to the Lord. Great example to us, these men. Believer, we ought to have that desire and that burden within our hearts to see others brought to the Lord. We should seek to be the type of friends that these men were. And to have that prayerful determination that we're going to get others into the presence of the Saviour. You imagine the joy when they got to the point where they broke through. Isn't that what we're praying for? Isn't that what we would desire? We're wanting to see a breakthrough. A breakthrough to the Lord. And to get right to the presence of the Lord where the Lord is able then to bless. And the Lord is able to move in power. the frailty of this man, the friends of this man, but notice thirdly, the forgiveness of this man. Come down the passage to the verse 20. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Thy sins are forgiven thee. The forgiveness of this man, but notice here the priority of the Lord. That's the first thing he said to this man. Now we know the man had a physical need. We know that he was sick of the palsy. He was taken with the palsy. He was completely gripped. His body was under the control and domination of the palsy. But the Lord deals with the spiritual. See the priority of the Lord there. Thy sins be forgiven thee. And that shows us man's greatest need. Whatever other circumstances you may be in, we would say that your greatest need by far is the need to know the forgiveness of your sins and to have your sins dealt with. That's the most important matter that you would ever face. The Lord shows us here that above every other need that this man had, here was the most important need, the pardoning of his sin. And thank God the Lord is able to pardon our sins. You look to that day, that certain day, that particular day, when you came in repentance and faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, you knew your sins forgiven, cleansed in the Savior's precious blood. Thy sins be forgiven thee. That's the priority of the Lord. But we see something here of the person of the Lord. When you look in verse 21, and the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? They accused the Lord Jesus Christ of blasphemy. They said, Who can forgive sins but God alone? They were right in that part. It is only the Lord who can forgive sins. We hear today about churches being opened again for prayer. And no doubt in relation to the Roman Catholic Church, that's opened again for the confessional, whereby individuals will go in and they'll be before the Roman Catholic priest and they'll confess their sins and the priest is said to forgive their sins. I ask this question, who can forgive sins but God alone? No man has power to forgive sins but the Lord himself. You look at verse 24. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. It's only the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't come before men to confess our sins in that sense, to be given as some absolution. No, we come before the Lord and He promises us that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the very fact that the Lord Jesus Christ here claims that He is the power on earth to forgive sins, it reveals to us His person. He's none other than the Son of God. God who was manifest in the flesh. The one who alone is able to forgive and to pardon your sin. At verse 24 brings out not only the person of the Lord, but the power of the Lord. He has power on earth to forgive sins. We were singing at the very commencement of this broadcast, Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would your evil of victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, is the power to cleanse us from all sin. from all sin. It matters not tonight if you're on the clean side of the broad road or you're a deep-dyed sinner. You still need to be forgiven. And the Lord Jesus Christ this evening has the power. He alone has the power. He's the one who went to Calvary's tree. He's the one who shed His precious blood. He's the one tonight who has the power to forgive your sin. We urge you to come to Him. If you've never come to the Lord before, come to Him now. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you know tonight, like this man, your sins forgiven? I want you then to notice in the fourth place this evening, the freedom of this man. And when you look again at verse 24, towards the end of the verse, the Lord said, "Arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house." The Lord not only had the power to forgive his sin and to deal with his spiritual need, but the Lord had the power to heal this man and to deal with his physical need. He could rise up, he could lift up his bed, and he could go to his house. The man who before had been controlled and dominated by this particular disease, he's now set free from it. Set gloriously free. And he's able to go home to his house. My, what a blessing it would be to that home. A man who has been changed and transformed by the power of God and the gospel. What a difference that makes to the home. Man here who has been set free by the Lord. Freed from the disease that had gripped him and dominated him. And the spiritual picture is for the sinner tonight. Even one who's held in the grip of Satan, whose life has been dominated by sin, the power of God and the gospel, he's able to set you free. And he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. When you're saved, you're no longer under that bondage and under the power of the devil. But the Lord sets us free to live to His honor and to His glory. To His glory in the home. To His glory in the community. That others would look upon us and they would know that we have been with Jesus. I say to you, if you have been set free from the Lord, as Paul said to the Galatians, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. The freedom of this man. But I want you to notice very quickly and finally the fear concerning this man. You look at verse 26 where we finished our Bible reading. It says, "And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today." They were filled with fear. And God begins to move in a powerful way, in a life-changing way. May the fear of God can fall as a result of that, where those looking on will be astonished, they'll be amazed, they'll not be able to take in what they're witnessing when they see the power of God transforming a life. It said here, we've seen strange things. And that word strange there in the original is where we get the word paradox. We've seen a paradox today. The word paradox means something that conflicts with preconceived notions of what is possible. We've seen something that conflicts with preconceived notions of what is possible. And they're saying, we've seen a strange thing. Do you know, whenever the unsaved of this world look upon the new creature in Christ Jesus, one who has been saved by the power of God, they see something strange. that they can't explain. Their preconceived notions don't feel it is possible. But it's what the Lord can do. What the Lord does through the power of the gospel, the cleansing power of His precious blood, and setting the sinner gloriously free. Though that we would see strange things in these days, that we would see these certain days, these days that are marked out, and the Lord moves in such a powerful way, oh, that we would witness days of strange things, when lives would be transformed by the power of God and the gospel. May the Lord move in answer to prayer for His name's sake. Amen.